Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Zephaniah, the third chapter. In your Scofield Bible, that's page 960. Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah. We'll be reading verses 8 through 13. We'll read these verses responsively. As we always do, let's please stand for the reading of God's Word. Therefore, wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord, to serve him with one consent. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my suppliants, even the daughter of my dispersed, shall bring mine offering. In that day shalt thou not be ashamed for all thy doings, wherein thou hast transgressed against me. Thou hast, out of the midst of them that did rejoice in thy pride, and thou shalt no more be haughty because of my holy mountain. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people. They shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. And the text verse for tonight's message is that 12th verse, and I had to look that up. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight, and we praise thee for thy great goodness this day. What wonderful reports, what victories. And yet, in the very glow of victory, it's easy for us to not give attention to thy word tonight. We pray that you'd help us to realize the purpose for our being here at this hour. That, of course, is to hear the man of God to give us thy word. And so bless in this hour, and grant thy power in Jesus' name. Amen.
Showed off a little bit tonight, didn't he? Wonderful. If I were a singer, that's the way I'd want to sing. What a passage. And I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. If you want to build a church, young preachers, go across the tracks. They'll listen to you. You want to build a church, you go to the ghettos. They're hungry. They'll listen to you. I'm not saying you ought to stay across the tracks, because the folks on this side of the tracks need the same message folks on that side of the tracks need. But if ever, God said to a people what he said to the prophet Zephaniah, he has said that to First Baptist Church of Hammond. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and a poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord, our Heavenly Father. I pray tonight, first, that you'd give me the attention of all this great people. And I pray tonight our minds shall go far beyond these walls. The little cubby holes, run down apartment houses, cockroach and rat infested flats. I pray tonight that the foundation should be laid for even more great days and months and years here in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. I come tonight on behalf of my crowd. I'm no blue blood. I've not ever known wealth. I've never known any kind of notoriety other than for the gospel. I'm no big shot. I do not come from the Gold Coast of Chicago. I come from the ghettos of Southwest Dallas. I do not come from what in our area was the area of the elite, Highland Park, University Park, where the rich people lived in our area, or Stevens Park. I come from a little place called Lisbon. Lisbon is the poorest place in all of the Southwest, or was, and still is, I'm sure, of all of the Southwest part of the city of Dallas. I come tonight on behalf of my crowd. I come tonight on behalf of that afflicted and poor people. I do not know of a verse that arrests me any more than this verse. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The Ted Kennedys may not, but the afflicted and poor people will. The Elizabeth Taylors may not, but the afflicted and poor people will. Here we sit tonight in an opportunity unparalleled, unless it would be New York City. But here we sit tonight in an area about which can be said, and to us, I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and a poor people. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and a poor people. Of the 1,000 plus people who walk the aisles in this church today receiving Christ, there were some who had some means. But for every one of those, there were probably 100 who were afflicted and or poor. When Jesus sent out the disciples to evangelize the world, he sent them first to go to the lanes and the streets of the city, the highways of the city, downtown streets of the city. They came back and they said, "We have given your message," and said, "We have done so, but they won't come." And Jesus said, "I want my house filled." He said, "If the rich won't come, tell the poor. The PhD won't come, tell the illiterate. The up-and-outer won't come, tell the down-and-outer. The fellow on this side of the tracks won't come, go the other side of the tracks and tell him." That's Jesus talking now. He says, "Tell the maimed, the halt, and the blind." Well, you say, "Well, the house, I'm rich, can I get in?" Yeah, it'd be a little harder for you, because the Bible said if you're rich, it's as hard for you to get saved as it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And I know what everybody says. Oh, that means a camel going through a gate. Well, if it meant gate, it said gate. It said needle, so it means needle. I'm not against rich people. I'm not preaching tonight against Brother Mendenhall, because he's wealthy. Though I can certainly cure that problem he has easily. If it is an affliction to him, certainly I can help him along that line. But the honest, simple truth is, the message of Christ, a heaven sounds better to a person living in hell than a person living in a $500,000 house. And so Jesus said to his people, he said, "I'm going to leave a crowd of people in the midst of thee, and there'll be an afflicted and a poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord." Somebody said, "This is a tough day. Hard to win folks." Never has been as easy to win folks as it is today. I mean, you just go where Jesus told you to go and you'll find it out. Never has been as easy. Never has. The more broken homes, the more broken hearts, the more broken lives, the more broken dreams, the more broken air castles, the more people will come to Jesus Christ. The more orphans, the more illegitimate children, the more lonely, then the more people will need the love of Christ. That person that has not will listen to you much more than the person that has. I understand we're supposed to spread the gospel to every creature. But the Bible says there are some places, and God has placed us uniquely in a place like this, in the midst of an afflicted and poor people. The more taverns and bars, the more readily people will listen to you about the gospel. The more red light districts there are, the more readily people will listen to the message of redeeming grace. The more heartaches and sorrows
and people at their wits' end, and the more lonely wives forsaken by faithless husbands, the more people will listen to the message of redeeming grace. The more forgotten children, the more fallen man, then the more care we can give them, and the more likely they are to listen to the gospel. The more rock concerts, the more narcotics, the more loose sex, the more young people who are suicidal and lonely, and the more ruin, the better chance it is to get the gospel to people. Ladies and gentlemen, with all my heart, I believe that God has uniquely set the First Baptist Church of Hammond in this great metropolitan Chicago area because of the multitudes of needy and afflicted and poor people that we ought to reach. You said, Brother Hiles, are you just interested in poor people? No, I'm interested in all people. But I want to make it very plain. I'm just as interested in those bus kids over there as I am the wealthiest person that walks in this church doors tonight. I mean, the ground is level at the First Baptist Church of Hammond. And I'm just as interested in those kids over there in the public school system and those deaf folks back there and those Spanish-speaking people that came down these aisles this morning as I am the blue bloods. I mean, I'm trying to say God loves everybody, and God doesn't love the rich more than the poor, and God doesn't love the up and out more than the down and out. And God simply says to some people, you know, there are preachers tonight who are preaching behind pulpits in little towns in America that have no ghettos. There are preachers tonight who are preaching in little cities, little towns, and small cities across America that have very little as far as poverty is concerned. But God has placed us here with millions and millions of people right here within our reach. And God have mercy on the First Baptist Church of Hammond if we don't reach these people. I've said this so often, and I mean this. There are many good churches in this area. But if this Chicago area is reached, this church is going to reach the Chicago area. Over 600,000 people from Chicago area have walked the aisle in the last 31 years in this building or the one next door and profess faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. And yet there are millions of people out there, unloved and unreached and uncared for. And for every single one of these bus kids over here tonight, who come to a place of joy and happiness and excitement and thrill. For every one of them, there are hundreds of them out yonder who've not yet been reached. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, cords that were broken can vibrate once more. The more dingy ghettos, the more street gangs, the more who do not know who their father is, the more that do not know if anybody loves them or not, the more wonderful it is to find out that somebody does care. The more people forsake their old, and the more people who are lonely in rest homes, and the more people that are forsaken by ungrateful children whose parents found enough room for them in their little apartment when they were born, and yet we don't have room for them now in our homes now that they're old. And the more these rest homes, this army of forgotten people who never get mail, who never get a visit, and nobody much cares about them, the more that there are, the more hungry hearts. And those people lie tonight in rest homes, unloved and forgotten. Let me tell you something. They'll listen to what you have to say. Why? Because God has set in the midst of us an afflicted and a poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The more husbands who beat their wives and children, the more people who are in need of a happy place like this, with happy music and a happy spirit. I'm not talking about coming in with some kind of a funeral dirge kind of a chant and ritualistic kind of a service. I'm talking about this old sin-cursed area here where there are thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of heartbroken and heart-sick people who had what the world offers, and in their hearts they know the world does not have what they need. And for what they hunger, they walk inside this building. I'll guarantee you 75% of them will listen to the message of Christ and trust Him as Savior. Those sailors back there. You think about sailors. You wonder, how in the world can you walk up on the street and witness to a sailor? You probably couldn't get to first base. But you put them right here in this service. You let those men know somebody loves them, and God knows we love you guys. You let somebody know that God loves them. You let Bob Hooker and his workers back there express their care and show their concern and give them some love. Listen, I don't care who you are. Brother, loving will go an awful long ways. The more sex on television, the easier it is to get people saved. Because the more people are going to find out illicit sex is not the answer. The more pornographic magazines, the more illegitimate children, the more sexual venereal disease, the more unmarried mothers, the more ready people are to receive Christ. I want to tell you something, folks. Here's something we folks don't understand. We don't understand that the world does not satisfy. And nobody knows that any more than a person that's tried the world. Well, I walked up on a street corner one day and bumped into my baseball hero of my entire lifetime, Ted Williams, the greatest hitter that ever picked up a baseball bat, in my opinion. I saw him down in Florida. I bumped into him. I walked over and I said, Ted, I want to tell you, I want to meet you. You're one of my heroes. I'll never forget when you batted 406 in 1941. I'll never forget when you got mad at your manager and took your left hand and swung the bat with your left hand. Mad, knocked the ball against the center field fence for a double. I said, Ted, not one single one of those 521 home runs that you hit will do one thing for you when you stand before God. I said to Ted Williams, I said, Ted, not one single one of those RBIs, all those records you have, or the all-star records you hold, will do one single thing for you when you stand before God. I said, Ted, do you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven? And that Hall of Fame baseball player said, no, I don't. Would you like to, Ted? He said, yes, I would. And there were 400 people standing around us and listening to me. I told him the gospel story. And that man, hungry for God and hungry for the gospel, bowed his head right there in front of hundreds of people and received Christ as his Savior. Brother, the devil doesn't have the answer. And the devil's crowd, no, the devil doesn't have the answer. And don't you listen, this rock and roll crowd. They said to you, we're having fun. They're not having fun, and they know they're not having fun. They haven't found the answer, and they know they haven't found the answer. This nightclub crowd, they're not having fun, and they haven't found the answer, and they know they haven't found the answer. Bless God, we have found the answer, and we know we found the answer, and God is placed in our midst, unafflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The more gangs and rapes and projects, the more hungry and cold and lonely people, the more likely they are to receive the Savior. I want to say this before going any further. We are no better than they. We are no better than they. This man right here has an earned Ph.D. I have an earned high school diploma. But that man right there is a good man, one of the best men I know. But in the sight of God, every single bus kid over here is as important as that man is. There are people tonight in this room who could write a check and sign your name and transfer hundreds of thousands of dollars from one account to another. But I want to say this. Those kids over there, every one of them, is just as important to God Almighty as the richest man in this crowd tonight. I'm simply saying, ladies and gentlemen, God has placed us here. I come tonight speaking on behalf of my crowd. I come tonight speaking on behalf of every little boy that wonders where his daddy is or who his daddy is. I know I've been there. I come tonight on behalf of every little child whose mother has to go to work while it's still dark and come home, it's still dark, and the child has to make it the best he can. I know I've been there. I come tonight on behalf of every little child who looks down and sees his feet sticking, toes sticking out of his shoes and his knees sticking out of his pants. I know I've been there. I come tonight on behalf of every little child who wonders if anybody cares about him and wishes he had a Christmas. I know I've been there. I come tonight on behalf of every little child in the Chicago area and every teenager in the Chicago area who's down and out and forsaken and whose dad's out drunk and has nothing to live for and wonders why he gets up in the morning. I know I've been there, and I'll die before I leave that crowd. I'll die. That's my crowd. I come tonight on behalf of those people. And yet the truth is, there are people all over this room tonight not doing one solitary thing about those afflicted and poor people that God has placed in our midst. And God is going to hold every single one of us accountable for the souls of these people. Churches all over Chicago this morning had their high-class church services. burned their candles. We said burn their buildings. They burned their candles. Had their liturgy. Had their form of worship service. While in our midst, listen to me, in our midst, you go over here in East Chicago, you go to Indiana Harbor, walk up and down those streets, and if your heart doesn't break, I doubt your salvation. You go over here in South Chicago, or near West Chicago, or you go over there, you look in the ghettos of Chicago area, you drive down those streets over there and see those apartment houses all lined up. And let God break your heart. Let me tell you something. First Baptist Church of Hammond has been reaching this great area for over 100 years. And for 31 years, we've been going full speed ahead. But let me tell you something. We've not yet begun to do what we can do. And by God's grace, we've not yet begun to do what we're going to do to reach that great Chicago area. God has placed in the midst of us an afflicted and poor people. And they shall trust in the name of the Lord. And we are no better than they. Never was a better woman live than my mother. I never knew a better woman than my mother. But my mother went for 12 years without a dress bought for her. For 12 years she went without a new pair of shoes bought for her. She wore hand-me-down dresses. Hand-me-down coats, hand-me-down shoes, hand-me-down glasses, and even a pair of false teeth that weren't made for her. And we lived and almost starved to death. But thank God, there was in our area a little old-fashioned soul-winning church that cared about poor people. Now, I wouldn't be here tonight had it not been for my mother and I being the object of love by some people that were interested in poor and afflicted people. Could I forget that night, that morning? I will not take you through it again, but that morning when I walked in Sunday school for the first time in a city church as a 5-year-old boy, and that little lady named Mrs. Bethel put me on her knee, and my little bare feet were sticking out beneath my patched pants. Every other child had shoes and nice clothes. And that godly woman placed me on her knee. And she said, "Boys and girls, we have a visitor today. His name is Jackie Boy Hiles. Aren't we glad to have him?" And she looked at me and she said, "Jackie Boy, did you know that Jesus loves you?" And I looked at her and I said, for the first words I said, "Mrs. Bethel, does he love me as much as he loves the boys and girls that have on shoes and nice clothes?" A tear escaped her eye and invaded my brow. And she said, "Jackie boy, he probably loves you more than loves anybody in this room." Hey, listen to me. There are Jackie boys all over the Chicago area. Need to find out that Jesus loves them. Wonderful story of love. Tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love. Wake the immortal strain. Angels with rapture announce it. Shepherds with wonder receive it. Sinner, oh, won't you believe it? Wonderful story of love. I love to tell the story for those who know it best. Seem hungry and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory, I sing the new song. Hey, folks, we got the answer. Let not there be a single drunkard that stumbles down the streets of Chicago that doesn't hear from the members of this church that we have the answer. Let there not be one single fallen woman who lives in the Chicago area without hearing that Jesus is the answer. Let not there be one teenage gangland kid that does not hear that Jesus is the answer. Let there not be one single ghetto-bound child that does not hear of the love of Christ. I say it again, we have what they're looking for. The Bible says that God has put eternity in our hearts. And nothing will fill that spot that is temporal. There is a place in the heart of every person left void by the fall and by sin. And that place can only be satisfied by Jesus Christ. You can put dope in there, but it won't satisfy. You can put liquor in there, but it won't satisfy. You can put pleasure, it won't satisfy. Education, it won't satisfy. Rock music, it won't satisfy. But you put Jesus in there, it'll satisfy. And every single demented sinner
who's in the gutter of sin in Chicago and bound with a slave by Satan, he knows he hasn't found the answer. God has placed in the midst of us an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. It was a little slave nation that attracted the attention of God. A little slave nation that gave us the Messiah. It was a little slave nation that gave us the Bible. A little slave nation that gave us the church. And where did God find their leader? In an ark in the bulrushes of the Nile River. And where did they find their Messiah? In a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes in Bethlehem. And where did David's mighty men come from? From the Philistine leftovers that nobody else wanted. And where did Jesus spend his life? With the down and outers. A blind Bartimaeus beside the road. A Zacchaeus up a tree. A fallen woman found in the act of adultery. A woman that had five husbands and living with somebody who was not her own husband then. That's where Jesus spent his time. And that's where we're supposed to spend our time. And God has placed us uniquely and advantageously here in the Chicago area. Listen to me. In God's name, let's reach the fallen down out people in this area. I love that verse. Where sin doth abound, grace does much more abound. Where liquor doth abound, grace doth much more abound. Where dope doth abound, grace does much more abound. Where adultery doth abound, grace does much more abound. Where incest doth abound, grace does much more abound. Where gambling doth abound, grace doth much more abound. Where homosexuality doth abound, grace does much more abound. Where tobacco doth abound, grace does much more abound. Where stealing doth abound, grace does much more abound. Where nightclubs abound, grace does much more abound. Where taverns abound, grace does much more abound. Where casinos abound, grace does much more abound. Where prostitution doth abound, grace doth much more abound. Where illegitimate children doth abound, grace does much more abound. Where rape does abound, grace does much more abound. Where robberies abound, grace does much more abound. Where murder doth abound, grace does much more abound. Where broken homes abound, grace does much more abound. Where movies abound, grace does much more abound. Where dance halls abound, grace doth much more abound. Where pornography doth abound, grace does much more abound. No wonder the old sailor who was delivered from being a vegetable to the grace of God. No wonder old John Newton, the old seafaring sinner, said, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Tis grace that taught my soul to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed." I'm simply saying, ladies and gentlemen, we have the answer. Hey, we have the answer. Hey, we have the answer. God's name, He'll hold us accountable, and our hands will be dripping with the blood of everybody in Chicago that could have been reached that we don't reach. God is placed in our midst an afflicted and poor people. It wasn't the miracle mile that brought me to Chicago 31 years ago. It was not North Shore Drive that brought me to Chicago 31 years ago. It was not Grant Park that brought me to Chicago 31 years ago. It was not Michigan Avenue that brought me to Chicago 31 years ago. It was not the Gold Coast that brought me to Chicago 31 years ago. It was not South Shore Drive that brought me to Chicago 31 years ago. It was not State Street that brought me to Chicago 31 years ago. It was Halsted Street. It was Halsted Street. The reason I'm standing behind this pulpit right now is because of Halsted Street. For that week when Mrs. Hiles and I came, and I preached for a week in Chicago, and that last night I had to drive alone. She was not well. had to drive alone from North Chicago down Halstead Street all the way to Harvey. I think over 200 blocks. Can I ever forget how I felt? The endless and ceaseless rows of apartment buildings. Little children that had no yards. The women with no husbands. The asphalt jungles in the ghetto areas. I cried all the way to First Baptist Church of Harvey. I looked at those apartment houses. You couldn't put your finger in between them. And I saw 40 and 50 little boys and girls had no yard to play in, no grass, just a few steps and a sidewalk out in front. I've never seen anything like that in my life. I grew up in Texas where almost everybody had a 70-foot lot, 70 by 120 lot. Most everybody had a little house to live in, their own little place. I've never seen anything like that. And God broke my heart. And I still can't drive down the streets of Chicago without weeping after all these many, many years. And I looked and I saw those thousands and tens of thousands and representing millions of people. And I stopped to realize this is the town of Dwight L. Moody. When he used to have the great soul-winning station in Chicago, oh, would God that great church would be as concerned about the poor people now as they were 100 years ago. Would God some of these churches in Chicago would shut down their formal worship service on Sunday morning and make old-fashioned revival services in its place. I thought this is the town of Billy Sunday, the town of R.A. Torrey, the town of Paul Rader. This is the town of some of the great revivals in history. And then I remembered how that morning over at the Belden Avenue Baptist Church where I preached that morning to a bunch of preachers, how when I preached on soul winning, they made fun of me. I preached on old-fashioned preaching, they made fun of me. I got out of the car. I was pulled over beside the road on Halstead Street, 1957. I got out of the car and I walked up to an apartment building. I saw bare feet on little children. And I remember the bare feet that I had many years ago. I saw poverty and remembered the poverty in which I'd grown up. I saw poor, tired mothers and remembered how poor and how tired my mother got. I saw drunken fathers staggering up to the door and remembered my drunken father staggering home at night. I saw heartache and hungry bodies and remembered how hungry I used to be. I saw old hand-me-down clothes and remembered my old hand-me-down clothes. I saw dingy sidewalks and remembered we had no sidewalks. I saw inside apartments with dingy walls. I saw covetous eyes as they looked at my nice suit and my tie. And I remembered how I used to look. And my heart broke, literally broke. When I came to Hammond, shortly after I came to Hammond, I was out in the Columbia Center visiting one day. I knocked on the door. A little lady came to the door and she said, I said, I'm Brother Hiles, pastor of First Baptist Church. She looked at me and startled and she said, oh, Brother Hiles, I've heard of you. She said, won't you come in? And then she said, no, you wouldn't want to come in. She said, look at my apartment. She said, my husband left me. She showed me a little boy over there about 7 years old. She said, this is my son. And she said, we don't have much. She said, you wouldn't want to come here. Dr. Hiles, I've seen your house. I know something about where you live. You wouldn't want to come in here. She said, my husband left me to rear my boy alone. And I have to work. I iron and wash and clean other people's houses. Try to keep some food in my boy's body and some clothes on his back. I looked at her and I said, ma'am, may I tell you a story? I said, my daddy left my mother too. And she left her to rear me alone. And I said, my mother had to work for 50 cents a day. I saw a chair over there with the stuffings all coming out. And I said, we couldn't afford any stuffings to come out of our chairs. And I said, I grew up exactly like you are. She said, oh, Dr. Howes, I can't believe you grew up like me. I said, oh, yes, I did. She said, come on in. And there that afternoon, I won that little lady to Christ. I won a little 7-year-old boy to Christ. I'm guessing 7, 8, 9 years old. As I walked out the door, I had sat down over here. As I walked out the door, that little boy said to his mommy, he said, Mommy, he said, Brother Howes, sat where I sit. Yeah, I've sat where you sit. I've been there, kids. I've been there. I know what this church means to you. We take it for granted, but you don't. I've been there. I've walked down the aisle barefooted and wished I had some shoes to wear. I've looked at the other moms and dads together and wished that my daddy would come. I've gone back home and seen my mama beat my daddy. I've been afraid to walk in the house after church at night. I've been there. Let me tell you something. God did not put this church here so we could have some kind of a formal worship service every Sunday morning and Sunday night. God did not put this church here so we could have a lot of fun and a lot of parties. And I'm not against the parties and against the fun, but that's not why we're here. We are here because God has set in our midst an afflicted and a poor people. And bless God, give them a chance, and they will trust in the name of our Lord. I got back in my car and cried all the way to Harvey. We're driving down Halstead Street. Went back to Texas. I got my prayer list out. At the top of my prayer list, I wrote, pray for God to send somebody to Chicago to reach that area. Every day for 2 years, I prayed for God to send somebody to this area. Little did I know that I would answer my own prayer. Somebody's got to care. Sure, thank God for them, but there are tens of thousands like them out, you understand? Thank God for these public school kids, but there are thousands of them still out there. They're yet there. Rejoice because 1,000 came forward this morning, but cry because there are millions who did not. Thank God tonight for these people that go up and down these streets trying to reach these kind of people. You say, well, out of the house, I've got some money. I don't feel very welcome tonight. You'd be very welcome if you'd go out and help us reach these poor people. If you got some money, you're more accountable than we are. Because you're to be a good steward of what God has given you, you ought to be financing several dozen buses. Then a letter came from First Baptist Church in Hammond. I didn't know where Hammond, Indiana was. I didn't know it was down near Evansville, out near Fort Wayne, central part of the state, down near Indianapolis. I didn't know where it was. I just knew that's where they made Hammond organs. But they don't make Hammond organs here. They make Sut here. And I got the map out. And I looked in the atlas, rather, I looked in the index under Hammond. And it told me where to look. And I pointed to it. It was right outside Chicago. And I said, oh God, no, not me. I didn't pray for me to go. I prayed for somebody else to go. I said, let me walk in the fields. He said, no, you got to walk in the town. But I said, there are no flowers there. He said, there are no flowers, but there's a crown. But I said, the air is thick and there's nothing but noise and din. But he wept as he led me back. He said, there is more, there is sin. But I said, the sky is thick and the fog is letting the sun. He said, but souls are sick and they walk in darkness undone. But I said, I'll miss the flowers. And my friends will miss me, they say. He said, my child, choose tonight if I am to miss you or they. I beg for more time to be given. He said, my child, is it hard to decide? It will not seem hard in heaven to follow the steps of thy guide. So I took one look at the fields and cast my eye toward the town. He said, my child, won't you yield and exchange your flowers for a crown? So into his hand went mine. Into my heart came he. I walk in a light divine in a path I once dreaded to see. I thank God tonight I don't live in Palm Springs, Florida, or California. You know why? Because there is that no there is there no afflicted and poor people that God has set in the midst. I thank God tonight I don't live in Boca Raton, Florida. I thank God tonight I don't live in Palm Beach, Florida. Because there are no afflicted and poor people whom God has set in the midst. I thank God that when my ministry here is over, I'll leave thousands and thousands of people who've been plucked from the ghettos because of the church I've tried to keep going. I'll leave bus kids pastoring churches across the country. I'll leave dozens and scores of them in Hiles Anderson College preparing to go across the world. You say that you love the bus kids more than you love their own drive-in kids, not on your life. There's no way I can describe how much I love our own kids. But I can't relate to those of you who are growing up in homes where the two cars in the family. We didn't have a car at all. We rode the bus, the streetcar, if we could have the money. If we had to go downtown, my mom would send me down beside the highway, try to find some Coca-Cola bottles so we could sell them for 2 cents apiece, so we could get enough money to pay 7 cents for mother and 3 cents for me, a dime for a ride downtown. I can't relate to those of you that live in nice homes, your children growing up in nice homes. I can't relate to you. But I can relate to those of you that are looking forward to Christmas and wondering if there's such a thing really as Christmas. I can relate to you. I can relate to those of you who, as I did, sit on Christmas morning and my mother would look at me and say, "Son, I'm sorry, but we don't have any Christmas." And give me 5 little pieces of candy she bought with a nickel for a birthday present because she had no money to buy me anything but 5 little penny pieces of candy. I know what I'm talking about. Poor and afflicted people. They're all over this area. Somebody's got to care. I thank God tonight I don't live in Honolulu. I mean that. You know where I'd rather live than any place in the whole world? Hammond, Indiana. I'd rather live here in this area where God has placed a multitude of afflicted and poor people who will believe in the name and trust in the name of the Lord. And now for 31 years, I've been here. I've loved the people of this church. And I cringe to think of the day when I'll not be able to pastor this church because nobody could love you like I love you after 31 years. But for 31 years, we've tried to reach this afflicted and poor people. Now, what must we do? I'll be quite frank with you. I'm worried about it tonight. Our insurance alone. Listen to me. $500,000 a year is in our budget for our buses. Our insurance alone is half of that now. $214,000 for one policy, and the other policy is how much? For the $60,000 policy? $341,000. That leaves $159,000 to run buses. You understand what I'm saying? What are we going to do? Some of you folks don't even tithe. God have mercy on your wicked soul. We've gotten the idea that drinking is the worst thing a person can do, or adultery is the worst thing a person can do, or stealing is the worst thing a person can do, or being on dope is the worst thing a person can do. And those things are mighty bad. Let me tell you what the worst thing a person can do. If a person discovered a cure for AIDS and didn't do anything about spreading that cure, that's pretty bad, about the bad things you'll ever do. Now you listen to me. We sit here in this area, and some of you people don't even tithe. 10% of your income is what God asks for. We're going to have to stop because of the insurance premium raise. We're going to have to cut off 30 buses. 30 buses immediately. He said, what's the answer for you to quit robbing God? How wicked! How vile! How corrupt! How sinful for you to rob God? All the world would need is for everybody in this room right tonight to tithe 10% of your income to the church, and that's already God's, not yours anyhow. If you just quit robbing God of what's His, if that would happen, we could run all the buses we need to run and reach this afflicted and poor people. They don't have any way to get here. They're people. These are people. They're real people. They hurt like you hurt. They weep like you weep. They're real people. Now you say a bunch of bus kids. No. A bunch of little people made in the image of God that Jesus died for. That's who they are. I come tonight on behalf of my crowd. I never claimed to be a blue blood. I didn't come from the silk stocking part of town. I come on behalf of my crowd. We're out there. Somebody's got to tell us. Somebody's got to tell us. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, chords that were broken can vibrate once more. These are real people. People who hurt and weep and suffer and cry and groan. I know I was there. Our Heavenly Father.